right. We have Friend Day coming up, so you should have three items in your possession right now. And if you don't, we have some of our men who should have these and ready to give them out to you. You need a lesson outline, and that's for today's lesson. And if you don't have any of these three, in a moment we want you to raise your hand. Just hang on a minute. Then you need a little Friend Day prayer card where you'll be praying for a friend. And then also a friendly reminder card, all right? And all of these should be given out at one time, not just one here, there, and yonder. But anyway, if you don't have all three of these items, the lesson outline, the Friend Day prayer card, and then the Friend Day reminder card, raise your hand and the men will get all three of these to you, and you'll have them. We want everybody to have these cards, all right? Now, on this, the little card, the small card, we're asking you to be praying for some of your friends that you're going to invite for Friend Day. That's on the 18th, and Dr. Tom Farrell is going to begin a revival meeting with us, and we want it to be a good day. We want to invite a lot of unsaved people here that day. And then the other card, which has our pictures on it, it's in two parts. It's perforated in the middle. The top part is the commitment that you have from those people. You just try to get them to agree, and then you can sign all of that for them, write it in if they don't want to do that. And then leave the bottom part for them to remind them that they promised, as you look at the bottom part, a friendly reminder, I promised my friend, their name, that, and they'll put your name there, that I would attend their church on October the 18th, so on and so forth. Now, some of them may not be able to be there on Sunday, but we have Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, too, that you can invite them to be in the services. So I hope you'll take these and use them, and we have plenty of them, and take them and get some friends here and be working and praying to get your friends here for Friend Day, all right? Now, let's go to Proverbs 17:17, and we're going to talk about what is a friend today. What is a friend? We'll have three or four lessons on that, and you should have your outline there that you can fill in as we're going through the Friend Day lesson. What is a friend? And we know the importance of a friend. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, just one verse, a friend loveth at all times. A real friend is that kind of friend. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A physical brother or a brother or sister in Christ, they are born for times that are tough in our lives, adversity, difficult times. And everybody needs a friend when they're going through those difficult times. And thank God for real, real friends that we have. So let's think first of all about life as we would see it without a best friend. Life without a best friend. What is life without a best friend? Well, A on your outline, life is lonely without a friend. Life is lonely without a best friend, and I think we can all relate to that. Often, the difference between somebody's success and failure in life is that a friend comes in and helps them out, and a friend is there for them. Charles Spurgeon said this. He was a great English preacher of the 19th century, and he said, friendship is one of the sweetest joys of life. Many might have failed beneath the bitterness of their trial had they not found a friend. Well, that's true, isn't it? You remember some of the things you've gone through in your life that were very tough and very difficult and very hard, and yet you had a friend that came up to your side, maybe more than one, that helped you out, and they were there for you. And I can remember some friends a number of occasions, but what I'm thinking of especially was when I got the bad news about our daughter's birth and about the cleft gum and lip and all that kind of stuff. It was really devastating for me. A lot of things go through your mind when something like that happens. And I remember driving that night about 100 miles just to talk to a friend. And a friend that helped me through that by the name of Orlando English, Red English. And we're still very, very, very close friends. It's the kind of friend that I can show up in Roanoke, Virginia and say, hey, I'm going by your house, whether you're there or not. I know where the key is. We're going into your house. And we'll go to our regular bedroom place. And so you have friends like that. But you don't ever forget a friend who comes to you when you're going through the bitterness of trial. And a lot of us may have folded or failed or taken the wrong route or had the wrong attitude toward things if we hadn't had a good friend who really brought some perspective into our minds. And I could give you a number of illustrations like that. Time will not permit it. And then life not only is lonely without a friend, but a false friend is a liability. I'm sure we would know that and understand that. A false friend is a liability. There are a lot of people that are fair weather friends. How many of you ever heard that term, fair weather friend? That means when everything's going well, they're your friend. But when it's not going well, they're no longer your friend. One of the examples we have in the Bible is a prodigal son. And he took his inheritance and began to live it up. And he had a lot of friends for a while. And it didn't last a long time after he ran out of money. Those friends ran out on him. But the way we get false friends sometimes is through finances. There are a lot of people that when you have money, they want to really be your friend. When you don't have it, you can't find them anywhere. Another way that we get false friends is through entertainment. And I can give you the references. You can look them up. We don't have time. Luke 15:13, and that has to do with entertainment. And then another way is through sexual favors, and a lot of people get friends through that. Proverbs 5:3-13 covers that. And then another is selfish desires. A lot of times you have friends that have very selfish desires, and they step up, as it were, to be your friend during that time. And then there's the word flattery. There are a lot of people that will flatter you and say things are really not true and build up your ego, all of that kind of thing. And they're really not true friends. They're just friends through these times, and they are a liability. They really don't help you. People like that just don't help us. And these are about five of the ways that a false friend is a liability. And then false friends usually will not help in trouble. They won't help in trouble. That C in your outline should be there. Job, if you remember his friends, thank God we don't have too many friends like that maybe, but they were supposed to be his friends. But they came to him and in essence deserted him as a friend. And they were critical of him. And they said, you're living in sin and your problem is sin. And that's why you're going through all of this. And Job said, no, I've been living for the Lord. And they said, no, that can't be. You got sin in your life. So they were supposed to be his friends. Eliphaz, Bildad, those guys were supposed to be his close friends. But they were very critical of him. And they really didn't help him when he was going through trouble. I imagine Job probably wished they'd just go on and go back home at times. He'd just say, you know, I really don't need this. You might as well go back home. Just leave me alone. I don't need somebody. When I lost my family and lost all of my wealth and lost all of those things, and my wife has said, curse God and die, I don't need so-called friends that are just going to give me a hard time and not encourage me and judge me and be judgmental in my life. So a false friend is a liability, and a false friend will not help in trouble. And Job said this about those so-called friends. Here's what he said, that they scorned me, in Job 16:20, and then they forgot me, John 19:14, and then they abhorred me. This was what they said about him, Job 19:19. And then, fourthly, they fail to pity me. They failed to pity me. John 6:14. And these are references you can look up. But a false friend is not somebody that's going to help you when you're really in trouble. So, secondly then, the second division, what is a friend? What is a friend? Well, a friend knows you. A friend really knows you. And a friend has been described as somebody who knows all about you and loves you anyway. Isn't that true? A real friend knows all about you. They know all the warts you've got. They know all the faults you have. And everybody has them, but me and my wife, right? Well, everybody else has faults but us. But no, everybody, including you, including me and my wife, we have some things that are not so desirable many times in our relationship. But true friends, a friend knows you and they still going to like you. It's sort of like a husband-wife relationship. Or is your wife perfect? No. Is your husband perfect? No. But you love, and you love anyway, because a true friend can know all about you and still love you, and nobody's perfect. One man identified a friend like this. He said, the one who steps in when the whole world steps out. That's true. Somebody who steps in when the whole world steps out. Somebody else said it this way. A friend is one who never gets in the way except when we're on the way down. And that's a true friend. When you're going down, they get in the way and try to lift you up. But a friend knows you. And he still likes you no matter what your problems are, no matter what fault you have. And then B under that, a friend is someone who loves you. They love you. This is similar to the other, but it's a little different. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth how often? At all times. A friend loveth at all times. When things go well, they love you. And when things go south, as we would say, or when things are not going so well, they still love you. And it may seem like things are never going to get better. They're still going to love you no matter what. And we know that this is part of it. Love is giving yourself. Real love is giving yourself. And the scriptures say, greater love hath no man than this. And you're familiar with it, no doubt. That a man lay down his life for his friends. That a man lay down his life for his friends. And so that can mean a lot of things. That can mean time. That you lay down some time for your friends. Maybe you really don't feel like you can spare it. Maybe you really think it's an imposition. But because they're friends, you're going to do it. You're going to show up. You're going to be there. You're going to help them out. And sometimes it's going to interfere with your relaxation time, but you're a real friend, and you're willing to sacrifice. And so 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive or understand we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren, for our friends. We should be willing to lay down our life. We should be willing to take some impositions and some things that are not in our comfort zone, because we really are a friend to that person. We'll help them out and do some good things for them. And then C, a friend has things in common with you. A friend has things in common with you. The Bible talks about Jehu and Jehonadab in 2 Kings chapter 10, around verse 15. And the statement was asked, when Jehu met Jehonadab, he asked this question, is thine heart right as my heart is with thine heart? Are you with me? Are our hearts together, is what he was saying. Is thine heart right as my heart is with thine heart? And what they were going to do, they were going into battle to fight a common foe. And so he said, I want to know, are we together on this thing? We're going to go to battle. We're going to fight a common enemy, and I want to know for sure that we're together on this. And they did have something in common. Now, we need something more in common than just a common foe. That should not be the only thing that brings us together. But it should be more than that. Frank Clark said this, to enjoy a friend, I need more in common with him than hating the same people. And I think that's good advice. That's good biblical advice based upon some scripture principles. To enjoy a friend, I need more in common with him than hating the same people. John Wesley preached in England. There was a great, great revival in England. And one of the sermons, he gave the invitation this way. Here's the way he said it. If your heart is like my heart, then take my hand. If your heart is like my heart, then take my hand. He was talking about in the matter of believing on Jesus Christ as the only way to get to heaven, as the Savior. And so when he did that, the story is said that thousands actually came and took his hand and said, my hand, my heart is like your heart, and I take your hand. And so when that happened to them, once that happened, they had something in common. And that thing they had in common was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that can certainly be a common denominator for so many of us, that we are Christians, we are saved, we have something in common, the common cause of serving the Lord together. And there can be other things that we have in common. And then D, under that, a friend protects you. A friend will protect you. A real friend will protect you. You remember the story of David and Jonathan in the Bible? David was just a shepherd boy. That's all he was, just a shepherd boy. But when we think of Jonathan was royalty. He was the king's son, and he was really supposed to be the heir to the throne. But God had put his blessing on David. And even though David knew that God has put his blessing and anointed David, he also wanted to be his friend. And he still loved him. And Jonathan wanted to show that he honored what God had chosen and that he was going to help him out. And brother, he had to help him out. Because Saul was angry, and Saul hated David, and Saul wanted to kill David, but he and Jonathan were real good friends in a very strange relationship. And Jonathan many times would protect him. You can read about it, 1 Samuel 19 and 20. You can read about how Jonathan protected David, and he would talk to his dad and find out what was going on, and then he would tell David, and then David would go. And then one time he told him, you go out and wait out there in the bushes and everything, and depending on which way the arrow is shot, you'll know whether you're to leave or whether you're to stay. And as it turned out, he knew his dad was trying to kill him, and so he gave him that warning. In 1 Samuel 20:41, this was when they were parting, David and Jonathan. And as soon as the lad was gone, after he had shot that arrow, David rose out of a place toward the south, and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept with one another until David exceeded, until David had to leave. They were close friends. And the kissing there was not a vulgar type of homosexual kiss, as some liberals have tried to make out of it. It was a typical kiss on the cheek that they would have in the Middle East, and you see that sometimes on television when people there are greeting each other. But they wept, they cried, and they were very, very close friends. I believe that a real friend is going to not tear you down, but protect you and try to help you and try to guard your reputation and be a real good friend to you. A friend protects you. And then a friend makes you happy. At least they try to make you happy. A friend makes you happy. Proverbs 27 in verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. In other words, somebody smells good and makes you happy. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. The sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. They can make you happy. In other words, there are special feelings that they have for you and you have for them. When you're with them, you really enjoy being with them. It doesn't take a whole lot to entertain the people that you're with. And during a time like that, you enjoy the very simple things of life just as long as you're together. That's the thing. And you're very happy, and your friend makes you happy, and that's part of friendship. And we know that when Paul and Onesiphorus were very close friends. Onesiphorus was somebody that Paul really loved and recognized as somebody that refreshed Paul. Paul was in prison, and he said, Onesiphorus refreshed me, and he made me happy. He helped me out, and he did that while Paul was in prison. He showed up. 2 Timothy 1:16 talks about that. And then F under that, a friend helps when you're in trouble. A friend helps when you're in trouble. We have sort of an illustration of that of the Good Samaritan who became a friend with this Jew that had been left for dead. He was wounded and he took care of him and said, you take care of him, I'll be back, I'll pay the motel bill, I'll pay whatever money has been spent for food and all of that. And he arranged for his care. Well, I believe that's one reason they became friends, and they were helped together. A friend is somebody who helps you when you're in trouble. A friend is a person that if they possibly can, if you were to have a financial reversal and a real need there, they'd come to your side and say, look, I'm going to help you out financially now. Think nothing about it. If you can pay this back someday, pay it back. If not, we're not going to worry about it. But I'm your friend. That's what friends are for. And I'm able to do it. I can do it. And so I'm going to do it. That might be an illustration of what you could do to really help a friend. It may be that somebody calls you up and say, I'm right in the middle of a project and I've got a deadline on this thing and I'm behind on it and I need somebody to help me out. Can you come over here and help me out? I'm way behind on this thing and there's going to be trouble if I don't get this done. And so those are just some very simple illustrations. A friend is somebody that helps you out when you're in trouble. And then a friend is loyal. Friend is loyal. Again, a friend loveth when? At all times. And I think Solomon demonstrated this wisdom when he gave this advice in Proverbs 27:10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Now listen to these words. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. Somebody who really doesn't care. A brother far off. A literal brother or some Christian brother who's far off who really doesn't care. But a neighbor who is there, who is available for you, somebody who really, really cares. Sam Davis, a Confederate, was a Confederate spy. And he was captured and he had some papers on him that he shouldn't have had. And the officers that caught him knew that he must have had somebody who was complicit with him in order for him to get that material and to get those papers. And they put him before a firing squad. He was court-martialed, blindfolded, and they said, we'll make a deal with you. If you'll tell us who that person was, then we'll let you go free. We won't shoot you. And that was a pretty good deal that they gave him. And his reply was this, if I had 1,000 lives, I would give them all before I would betray a friend. Boy, that's loyalty, isn't it? A friend is loyal. Loyalty, thou art indeed a gem, seldom found in the hearts of men, is another statement that was made by someone else. And so we need to be loyal to our friends, and that takes the grace of God. But if you can't depend on a friend to be loyal, who in the world can you depend on? And Jesus is our dearest friend. He's always loyal. Then a friend brings out the best in you. A friend will bring out the best in you. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Henry Ford said this about a friend. He said, my best friend is the one who brings out the best in me. My best friend is the one who brings out the best in me. A best friend brings out the best in you. Sometimes people think that they are called to be critical and mistakenly criticize everything you do and still act like they're your friend. We don't need friends that are just criticizing everything that we do all the time. A wife that does that to her husband's in trouble or vice versa. But we need to have other people and good friends who lovingly, carefully, sometimes will give us helpful criticism. They lovingly confront us. I've had people do that in my lifetime, in my ministry, and there have been times that my wife has given me some helpful criticism, some things that I was blind to that she was seeing in my life. And Robert Lynn cautioned this. He said, friendship will not stand the strain of very much good advice for very long. Let me say that again. Friendship will not stand the strain of very much good advice for very long. We just can't harp on it all the time. But every once in a while, if you've got a real good friend who really loves you, they might sit down with you and say, look, I know you don't realize you're doing this, or you don't see that. Maybe a relationship with their children, maybe a husband-wife relationship, maybe some financial advice they need, they're not taking care of things. But a real good friend will sometimes just lovingly confront you and do that. And they're people that are going to bring out the best in you. I can remember those who taught me in school, the ones who really tried to use positive motivation, not negative motivation, but positive motivation. Some sports coaches are that way. They use positive motivation rather than just hateful, critical motivation. And I can remember one teacher, I can remember a number of them, but one especially, Mrs. Clark, who we went into algebra, and algebra was very tough, first year algebra. That lady was so encouraging. She would work with you, and she would tell you, you can do it, you can do it, and she would help you out. And that's why I made good grades in algebra, because she cared. Now, there were some other courses we don't want to talk about. They didn't care too much, and I didn't make A's in those courses, sort of like some of you, I guess. But you understand, and you can remember the teachers you had that really loved you, really cared, took time with you, and they had positive things to say and made you believe you could learn, you could do it, and you remember those, and that's so important. And then a friend is interested in your spiritual well-being, not just your physical, economic well-being, but your spiritual well-being. Job wanted a friend like that, and that's what he needed. Later on, he prayed for his three friends that had been critical of him. He prayed God was ready to just really deal with them harshly, and Job asked God not to, and he prayed for them. And I can tell you that good friends help each other spiritually. Now, what is a friend? Right at the end of that, take a little questionnaire here and see how you do on that, and see how you'd respond. A, under that, a friend knows you. And this is sort of a review of it. A friend loves you. A friend has things in common with you. A friend protects you. A friend makes you happy. A friend helps when you're in trouble. A friend is loyal. A friend brings out the best in you. A friend is interested in your spiritual welfare. And then there's some rhetorical questions that you have there, and you can look over those, and they'll be a blessing to you as you think about those rhetorical questions, starting with the first one, what common interest do I have with my friend, and then look over the rest of those, and that'll give you some guidelines about all of that. What is a friend? These are some biblical descriptions and definitions of what a real friend is and what we really need. Not only do we need friends, we need to be friends like that to other people. We really do. Sometimes we get so selfish, we just look at us when we really need to be looking out and being a friend, finding a friend, and being a true friend in the truest sense of the word to them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I pray that you would help us to have the same spirit, the same attitude of Jesus, and to be a true biblical friend to those that are around us, to seek out friendship, to appreciate friendship, and to do those things that help make friendship what it ought to be. And help us to care for the spiritual welfare of our friends, some of whom are not yet saved, that we might invite them to church, or we might witness to them, that they might come to know Christ as Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.